Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yo, what's up, listeners? Welcome to another episode of Thinking Outside the Boombox, your number one source for hip-hop and R&B news. My name is Ahmad, and I am your host. It is Sunday, March 27th. Welcome back to Thinking Outside the Boombox. I know it has been a long time since you've heard from me, but as I mentioned, this is the fourth and final season, and so as I, you know, get the different episodes together, I wouldn't be releasing weekly. But the good news is that now that I am back and we are in the home stretch of the final episodes, I will probably be coming with an episode every week or at the most 2 weeks in between. There are, after this episode, 8 episodes remaining. We've got...
It's the beginning of the end.
It is. It is. Only 8 more episodes.
Wow.
I got a series coming. In April, that I think will be really cool. That's like a 5-episode run. I'm going to do a Grammy episode when that happens in a week or so. And then there's a couple more farewell episodes with guests of the podcast that we'll be doing. But speaking of those, in the Dig Deeper segment of this week's episode, it is the third stop on my farewell tour in the studio. I have my friend Ariel. You heard her voice. You can say hello to the people.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning or afternoon or whatever time of day
it
is.
Whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So Ariel has joined for the farewell tour. She brought a topic, which we'll introduce in the Dig Deeper segment. And then we'll discuss that for a little bit. So very excited about that. These farewell tours. Episodes have brought some dope conversations. So before I get into that, the song of the week in the press play segment, I won't be doing them on air this week, but all of the information will be in the podcast newsletter. So it'll contain all the links to everything that I talk about, any albums, performances, videos that I think you should check out. Links to that will be in the podcast newsletter. Also the song of the week. You can get the podcast newsletter by going to thinkingoutsidetheboombox.com. On the homepage, there's a place where you can put in your email. If you choose to go that route, you'll receive the newsletter in your inbox every time there's an episode. Or you can just go to the newsletter tab on the website. All the newsletters are there as well. So check that out. Get all the links, the albums that I think you should check out. But yeah, without any further ado, let's take a short break and we'll jump into the Dig Deeper segment. Welcome back to Thinking Outside the Boombox. It is now time for the Dig Deeper segment. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, this week's episode is the third stop on my farewell tour. So what I've been doing is, for these farewell tour episodes, is I'll bring back a guest who has been on the podcast before, but this time they get to choose the topic and what we discuss in the realm of hip-hop and R&B. So Ariel is here in the studio. She has chosen the topic, and we're gonna just have a free-flowing conversation about that. So Ariel, what is the topic that you have brought today?
Thank you, maestro, DJ, orchestra leader. So I thought it'd be really interesting to talk about visibility, success, lack of success for artists in hip-hop and R&B who are not straight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a whole lot of different buckets. So maybe, like, queer is a good word to kind of mm-hmm. capture it all. But, yeah, I was just sort of thinking, like, where are the gays at? You know, like, everybody's not straight. Like, and it's not that only, like, not, you know, five people are not straight. So, mm-hmm. you know, taking a closer look at that. And this was actually a lot of fun, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Awesome. Yeah, I was doing a lot of research because the history of, like, queer people in hip-hop is not one of my, like, most knowledgeable, mm-hmm. Or one of the topics that I'm not the most knowledgeable about. So I was like, all right, let me see if I can figure out the history. The history is not great for, like, queer people in hip-hop. I think despite the many contributions that, like, women and other people made to hip-hop since its inception, like, hip-hop kind of became centered around men, and because of that, like, it became centered around masculinity.
Yeah.
And so women were excluded, and then because of this masculinity, like, focused view, then queer people were excluded because wrongly they, like, equated, like, queerness as the opposite of masculinity. And, like, you know, when hip-hop started, it was, like, the mid-70s, and then the 80s and the 90s were very just, like,
gangster rap. Like,
yeah.
Hard edge. Mama said knock you out.
Yeah. And so they were already pretty unfiltered with the things that they talked about and how they talked about, like, women. And then when you add, like, queer people in that, it's like, wow, that you all just said anything. Like, it was just take off the rings and the earrings. You're like, we're just going to say whatever comes to mind, no matter who it offends. So yeah, it was, I think it was definitely rough in the beginning of hip hop's history. There's the F-bomb that artists would drop repeatedly in songs, like, before, as a society, everybody was like, hey, this is a derogatory term that we shouldn't say. But artists were doing it all the time, like Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Eminem. Some of the biggest and best hip-hop artists of all time have songs with the F-bomb in them. Eminem used it as recently as 2018. So, like, that was 4 years ago.
I actually am surprised it was that long ago. I would have thought that he would have done it as some sort of show within the last 24 months.
Yeah, he's somebody who has not made many friends in the LGBTQ community because of things that he has said. But
yeah, it's a very pull and take. I won't, like, go down a whole path about the one Eminem, but
yeah,
you know, I probably only ever listened to one or two Eminem albums, but I'm still like, we can do something with this.
Yeah, yeah.
You can still come inside.
But yeah, it was hip hop has just had a storied history of not really caring about queer people and, like, just saying offensive things. Like, Nicki Minaj has had anti-gay sentiments in her music recently in her 2018 Queen album. N.W.A., Beastie Boys, they've all had anti-gay sentiments in their music. And I think hip-hop just in general lined up with what societal views were in the, like, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, and that, like, they would openly disrespect queer people in music.
Do you think that any of that has to do with, like, you know, like, not feeling that there was space for nuance, where it was like, this is a new, like, you know, voice or mm-hmm. type of music, it's being owned by a particular, you know, like there's a clear view mm-hmm. in mind of like who makes rap music and who mm-hmm. makes hip hop music, you know. And so then this is my mic. This is my chance. This yeah. is my, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is that. And it's a weird, it's weird because hip hop was grown out of like oppressed people, like, or like the marginalized group wanting, having something to say and like using this medium to say it. But then at the same time, once you like created this medium, you excluded the people that didn't fit that specific narrative. So it was like, are we supposed to be about like including the marginalized, but yet we're doing this?
We can't help everybody.
So yeah, it's been rough. I think there has been some hope within the past decade, in that we're seeing a wave of like artists who are like openly queer, openly gay, seeing success, and we can talk about that. But like in the past, it's been dicey.
And then what's crazy was you saying it's been dicey, and then it's like, how many of them do you not hear about?
Oh, yeah.
Like, whenever we talk about one of these topics, not even that I want to focus a whole bunch of energy on that, but, you know, you talk about women reporting abuse, or, like, mm-hmm. men reporting experiencing sexual abuse, and, like, these things where there's a whole lot of shame, mm-hmm. or, like, we do real vile, fucked up stuff, you know. We know about 10 people, and then, like, 8 of them did not have a good time.
Yeah.
And then we don't talk about the other, like, 800 people.
Uh-huh. Ah. Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. Yeah. It's rough. And as much as I love hip-hop, it's, you know, it's real easy to see that there are a lot of blind spots that people willingly put up when they make hip-hop music, and even when you listen to it, because, you know, hip-hop is an openly misogynistic art form as well. And while, like, you know, there are women in hip-hop who have seen success and are, like, fighting back against that, like, it's still, it's, like, in the fabric of hip-hop's foundation. And it's the same thing with queer people, like, how phrases like sus or no homo or pause are just, like, those have been in. I've been listening to a lot of like hip hop from like the 2000s era over the past couple of weeks, and this all over that music. And I was like, wow, they were saying no homo as early as 2001. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't have thought that started that early, but they were, and it's just it's a normal part of like hip hop culture speak and like rap.
Yeah, I feel like that was big when we were younger.
Yeah,
people just going around and saying no homo, and yeah. Now I don't know. You know, just you don't hear it all that often, and it makes sense not to hear. But mm-hmm. as much as it's misogynistic and all these sorts of things, those are also elements that's part of the swag. That's part of like the charm in some way. Is yeah. how you talk about these terrible things that you should not be saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I always talk about J. Cole and missing when the music, you know, was more about hoes.
Oh.
A little bit less conscientious, but, you know. It's yeah. for the better. We're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, there are still more than enough artists who are willing to be terrible in that regard, who I'm sure we'll talk about. But I did want to mention this one story about the first openly gay rapper. In doing research, I stumbled upon this. And it was so... The story just kept getting weirder that I was like, I have to mention this. So there's this rapper named Caution, CAUSHUN, who is apparently the first openly gay rapper. I've never heard of him, so I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was a thing. So I'm trying to think, what year did that happen? Let me get the years right.
Okay.
Because I want to give people context as to what time period this was happening.
Thank you. I'm holding back on that question. I was like, he knows how to tell a story.
So he was born in 1977, and it looks like around the early 2000s is when this happened. So he is referred to as the first openly gay hip hop artist to be signed to a major record label. It was reported that he was signed to Kimora Lee Simmons' Baby Fat Records. Which was a record label. Yeah, I didn't know this was a thing either. It was formed for the purpose of releasing Caution's album as well as Kimora Lee attempting a recording career. So okay. I guess she started her own recording label so she could have a career, but they also plan to release Caution's album. Neither record was ever released, so like Caution's album never came out, neither did Kimora Lee Simmons.
Okay.
So then it was revealed by this guy named Ivan Matias, I think that's how you say his name, who is a straight man. Mm-hmm. He revealed in like the 2000s that he created Caution, the character, and that he wrote, recorded, and performed all of the work attributed to Caution. So he basically was like, yo, this started out as a prank. Like, we created the Caution persona. He and his friends called into some radio show on Hot 97 in New York, posing as a flamboyantly gay rapper. And then after like a series of performances where he called into the show and they did performances, they became super popular. Like, they basically created this Caution character. He agreed to meet with the radio host of this radio station where he had been calling in. And they basically, like, he explained to them, like, yo, I'm not actually gay. Like, this is just a character I've been playing. And they were like, that ain't no problem. And so they basically were like, all right, so let's create this character. And so they were like, Caution needs a face to this radio personality they've been hearing. Mm-hmm. And, like, the demand for the character grew. And so they basically just, like, created a persona and, like, hired somebody to agree to be Caution in public. But, like...
Is that our fault or theirs, you know? I think we have to look at...
Yeah. Yeah.
How we allowed this to be.
But, like, every time I, like, Googled, like, all right, who was the first openly gay rapper? No name came up but Caution, and it turns out he wasn't actually, like, he was, like, a straight person pretending to be an openly gay rapper. But, like, no other big names come up. Like, I think there weren't really a lot of, and we can talk about the ones that kind of towed the line or that, who, like, achieved success, but it seems like it just kind of, like, wasn't a thing until it was. Like, until people decide, like, most people, I think, towed the line of, like, are they open or are they, like, Queen Latifah, for instance, like, she didn't really start owning it until, like, five years ago.
Right? Yeah, like, super recently.
Yeah, but, like, before that, she was like, yeah, I don't think it's anybody's business, mm-hmm. like, what my sexual preferences are, and it was like, okay, yeah, that's fair, and so, like, we just kind of, like, left it alone, but it was, like...
When you have enough talent.
Right.
You know, like, when you have enough talent, you just, like, you focus on what I do, and...
Yep.
People are like, okay, well, that's a strong character.
Yeah. And she's one of the, like, pioneers for, like, women in hip-hop. Like, a major forerunner.
Is she an EGOT winner?
Ooh.
Or close to?
I think she's close to it. Like, she's got to have a... Let's look this up. Let's look this up. This is why I love recording live. I can get this information.
I think for Chicago. Did she get Best Supporting Actress?
Oh, I bet she did. I bet she did. She's got a Grammy, an Emmy.
An Emmy for what? Oh, Living Single, maybe?
Maybe. A Golden Globe. Oh, so she doesn't have a Tony. She's got an Oscar nomination.
Ah, okay.
So she's missing the ot. She's got the eeg.
She's an eeg. Okay. Womp womp. Well, we're pulling for you.
But that's good for her, though, that she even, like, she got that Emmy. Like, she really... took her rap career and turned it into, like, a crazy successful acting career. And, like, she's got that Equalizer show on CBS, which I haven't seen, but I've actually heard people saying good things about it. It's like, do I need to watch the Equalizer?
I have watched an episode. It was a lot. It comes on CBS, which I just feel like is a whole channel dedicated to an older demographic.
Yes. Yes. Everything on CBS is, like, the same type of show.
NCIS on a boat. NCIS in the art gallery. NCIS Hawaii.
NCIS in the art gallery. Yeah.
So I want to watch it to support her because she's, you know, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of an equalizer. Not even the idea of an equalizer with a woman, but just I like to see her in a lead role on a TV show.
Yes.
But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll go back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's just one of the things I like about Queen Latifah is she was like, look, y'all need to know about my sexuality, and if you, like, feel a way about that, I don't give a damn. I'm going to do me. And she did her, and she became really successful. And then it was a big moment. I think it was at, like, a BET Awards or something 5 years ago where she had her partner either in the crowd or on stage. And then she said, like, happy pride at the end of it. And it was like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, like, Queen Latifah is owning. Mm-hmm. She's owning this now.
Coochie Bang was that whole album with the California Dreamin' on it.
Oh.
That was a real jazzy time.
Uh-huh.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
So, like, if we look at that, maybe even though she wasn't really open, like, maybe she was one of the first openly gay rappers, but it's tough because she wasn't, like, open back then, but, you know, now it's a gray area.
We're talking about a whole category of women in some sense who wouldn't necessarily allow you to question or wouldn't allow there to be a focus on their sexuality, like Debrett.
Yeah.
Or Missy Elliott.
Yep.
You know, where it was like, I'm blanking on who else, but where it was like, are you, I think you might, but there's just like, look, I perform this art, I do this thing, I won't answer those questions, I'll be invasive.
Yeah.
So, not at all that they were necessarily the first, you know, that they were saying that I'm out and that they're not straight, but I think the fact that they would reject sort of that inquiry or reject that attention for people who identified with that and, like, you know, like, needed that. It wasn't the representation that you need from the mountaintops, but it is like the way she dresses, what she talks about, you know. They was doing their part. They was doing their part before they were
for sure
comfortable and able to come out bigger.
Okay. Yeah. So shout out to Queen Latifah. I'm going to start thinking about her as, like, one of the first, like, queer artists to achieve success. That Caution story is ridiculous. Like, I couldn't believe. I was reading it, and I was like, oh, so this is the first openly? Why have I never heard of them? And I was like, oh, this wasn't a real part? Oh, so you all just went on a minstrel show with this, like, pretending to be this, like, flamboyantly gay artists, like.
Would we have heard any of it? Did you listen to any of it? Was it good?
I haven't heard anything because he never released the album. But I guess his public persona grew because he was doing these, like, call-ins to the radio station. But eventually, they, like, hired some. I don't know.
It's not the Loch Ness, but it's giving Loch Ness energy.
For sure, it's just like, wow, this. It's a crazy
one
time.
One recording of him on a VHS from a mall in 1999.
Before we jump into, like, talking about some of the LGBTQ artists who have, like, flourished in hip-hop, I did want to mention Frank Ocean, because even though we're mostly talking about hip-hop, like, this is a hip-hop and R&B podcast, and I feel like Frank Ocean's contributions were large in that, like, when he did that whole Tumblr post, like, he hadn't released Channel Orange yet, I don't think, but I think he had released his Nostalgia Ultra project, and, like, people were talking about Frank Ocean. I think he was maybe getting ready to promote Channel Orange or in the midst of it, and then he did that Tumblr post where he talked about his relationship with a dude, like, from his past, and everybody was like, oh shit, Frank just came out.
Yeah.
And then I feel like he became kind of like he was like the catalyst. And I'm sure maybe people had done it before him, but it's hard to pinpoint times.
This modern push this last 10 years.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he was the start of it where everybody was like, oh shit, like, Frank Ocean making dope ass music. And he just came out as gay. And it's like, yeah, because that doesn't fucking matter. Like, it doesn't have any effect on, like his talent, like, obviously. But I think a lot of artists today probably, I think, cite Frank Ocean as a, like, inspiration for them choosing to be themselves in their music. And so I feel like that definitely needs to be talked about, especially in this. And he kind of toed the line between hip-hop and R&B because he appeared on a lot of hip-hop songs. And then he also did those things with Odd Future where he rapped sometimes, so I feel like we definitely have to mention Frank Ocean because he kind of started a mini revolution.
For sure. And, like, I didn't fully get the impact of that Tumblr post. I remember hearing about it and being like, I was, as I often am, sort of, like, late to the game. So I wasn't like, ooh, Frank Ocean until Channel Orange. But now, just sort of looking back and sort of how people talk about it and sort of all these other artists who cite him and just, you know, hearing, like, looking and reading about regular people talking about the experience of reading about such a prominent figure saying, you know, I had these deep emotional feelings for a man. You know, like, he's already got you. Like, you already are on his train, on his ticket of interest to him, and now are you going to throw him away?
Exactly.
You know, or get rid of him?
Exactly.
So to be able to do that, to come out of that, you know, like, not worse for the wear, and all these people to be... Frank Ocean is so desirable. Frank Ocean is like a sex...
Yeah.
He's a sex symbol in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good-looking guy. And to be like, ah, you know, it just made me have a different appreciation for him. That, because otherwise, it's like, after Channel Orange, I'm like, I don't know why y'all are all on Frank Ocean's dick. He seems like a cool recluse, whatever, but, you know, reading those comments, it's like, oh, okay. I could give you your flowers. I can see why you matter, really, to this, like, larger zeitgeist. And I'm here for it. Not that I wasn't before, like, you know, fuck the man.
In whatever
ways, you know, you can. But, yeah, it gave me a different appreciation for him. And so then maybe I'll go back and listen to some of that. Maybe not. I listened to that Blonde and that other business.
Oh, Endless.
I don't want to watch him make a porch. And so maybe I'll wait for the next thing.
That was
I'm still pulling for you.
It was the weirdest thing, because one, the confusion about, like, is this an album? Wait, is this live stream? Is this the only place I can listen? Like,
is Frank okay?
Right, like, it was the point, got to the point where I had to, like, torrent the Endless album to listen to it, because I was like, I'm not about to go to this website to, like, watch him make some stairs just to listen to, because there are so many good songs on Endless, but it's like the medium with which I have to listen to this is not okay. I'm not about to go to this
open
site.
Your mind, Ahmad.
It's like, you want me to just throw this loop of you making a staircase on for me to listen to?
That's life,
this.
Okay? You're not seeing the image. Now
nah,
I want to watch it. Now
I torrented,
like,
that shit. But now it's available, I think, on streaming, which is great. But
I don't want to pay for it. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the openness with which he then, from Channel Orange and Blonde, just, like, talked about his experiences was also great, and it opened up paths for a lot of people to do the same thing. Like that guy, Kevin Abstract. Is that his name? Kevin Abstract?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from Brockhampton. He's mentioned, like, yeah, when Frank Ocean released that Tumblr post, like, it was, like, a big moment. Like, oh, shit. Like, okay. Like, I can live the way I want to live, and it can be okay.
Yeah.
And it's really important that there were artists to do that. Staying in the R&B vein, like, there's Sid from the Internet, who is...
I gotta listen to more of them.
I don't, and it's always tough because it's like, yeah, you don't really need to, like, tell us what your sexual preferences are, but Sid was one of the ones where it's like she was just always talking about, like, women when she was, like, singing. It was like, oh, great, okay, so we know what you're about. And she's got one of the most beautiful voices I think I've ever heard. Also, shout out to Sid, she's releasing an album next week that I'm very excited about, because it's been a while since the last Sid album. I think that was 2018, actually. Or 2017.
I don't necessarily see it, but I was like, I was wondering if Sid's pronouns might be they, them, as opposed to she, her.
Oh,
but I didn't readily find that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, what was the 2017 album?
Finn, yeah. Yeah.
I gotta go back there, because, I mean, I know and Got Her Own are...
Yeah.
So many occasions.
Right? No is one of the... It's just such a perfect song.
I'm gonna have to listen to that after this.
Yeah, and it's got that those Aaliyah undertones. Like, it's a song that Aaliyah would have made when she was alive, and but yeah, Sid is incredible. I'm excited for her new album. It's cool that the Internet has I think Steve Lacy from the Internet, the guitarist, is queer.
Okay.
But I really like their collective, because, like, individually they all make really good music, and then when they come together, whenever they decide to come together, it's very infrequent. They make good music. But yeah, Sid has been repping. Kalani.
Yeah.
who I think first came out as bisexual, and then like maybe a couple years later was like, nah, I'm just gay. Yeah. It's just like, I'm sure some man fucked that up.
Yeah. Yeah. She's, never mind, I'm done checking it out.
It's like, yeah, nah. Yeah. And she's got, yeah, she had a baby with a man, didn't she, first?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think she, that's what it was. So she had a baby, and then either she came out as bisexual before or after that, and then, like, maybe a couple, 3 years later, she was like, yeah, I'm just gay.
She, I was trying to find it because I have it downloaded, but, like, the lyrics to some of her songs mm-hmm. are, you know, they're wrapped up in this sort of up-tempo, sometimes bubblegum sort of thing.
Yes.
And she is just talking about being sexually harassed in such a way that, like, unconsciously brings a tear to my eye, where it's just like, I was having a good time, and then, like, oh, wow, because I'm realizing the story that you're telling me.
Yeah.
She
really puts it all in her music. Oh, Kalani also releasing an album in the next couple of weeks.
I'm like, is on that album Sweet Sexy Savage?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So now I'm like, I want to do this. All right, I'm going to let it go. But just, yeah, shout out. I'll listen to her, but then also, again, some of those songs and the way that she talks about that is just like, this is kind of a hardier lesson
yeah.
than like a chill listen. Mm-hmm. I'll be back.
Yeah, and her newest album, Blue Water Row, that she's releasing, I think, at the end of April. Just from the first single, seems like it could be an emotional album, but maybe that's just the first single she released.
Blue
I think
Water
she
Road.
Right, it sounds artsy. It's like, oh, are we getting some feelings on this one?
Mm-hmm.
But I love Kalani because she's very open in her music, but her music is also kind of ambiguous in that, like, for a while it was like, you could be talking about a man or a woman, like, it's
yeah.
really the same sentiment.
Yeah.
But she makes beautiful music. I think Willow is, like, Willow Smith.
I think she's Pan.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
something, you know, very all-encompassing.
Uh-huh.
Whatever the energy read is when I get it.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. And that's really how her music sounds and feels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, lots of R&B artists
how
who were kind of.
How is her music? I don't listen to it. All I know about is that song that seems to have a reference to drug use that I feel conflicted about when I see people and like
doing the veins.
Yeah, you know, it's like yeah, then it's cool, and then also like I don't know, it's like heroin.
Yeah, yeah, it's that like caught a vibe song.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I haven't listened to I think her most recent album, but her like. Mid or like the album like in the middle of her catalog was really good. Her music is very specific. I have to be in the mood to listen to Willow because it's like, oh, this is some like atmospheric like maybe toke up, and that is the best like vibe to be listening to her music. It's not something where I'm just like at work like, yo, let me throw on that Willow album while I like sort these data sets, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not the music for that time, but I think she's a really great artist.
Okay,
so let's, did you have any other R&B artists you wanted to discuss, or we can jump into the hip-hop ones?
Yeah, I don't know those lines, you know, I just want to make sure we talk about Prince, even though I don't
know. Oh yeah, yeah, go for it, let's talk about Prince, because yeah, he definitely was a pioneer as well.
I was listening to, first off, Prince has 7 essential albums on Apple Music.
That really speaks to how many albums he's made.
Right? Right? And the quality of them, that they're like, you know, we're bridging so many times and so many sounds, but like, you made no less, and it's not a definitive barometer.
He made 39 albums during his life.
I knew it was some outrageous number.
What?
Yeah. So, clearly, I've only listened to, like, 3.
That's insanity. And I'm sure some of those albums were, like, had maybe, like, 5 songs on it.
I mean, his album Controversy was 39 minutes long. And
okay.
And had, I listened to that one because he had started opening for Rolling Stone, like, in the early 80s.
I didn't know that.
And he got, like, jeered and booed and heckled so badly that I think he only did, like, 2 shows with them. And then he was like, I won't be abused like this.
Damn.
And Jagger was like, no, come on, like, come on, you know, this could be cool.
Right.
And he was like, nah. And so then his next album was Controversy, so that's what I was listening when you got here. And so it's 8 songs, 37 minutes. We had turned it down, didn't listen to Jack You Off.
Prince, that's the last song, I see.
Yeah. Prince, just so much for the statement that he made. And, you know, again, I think that's where I'd gotten that idea of talking about refusal to discuss the subject with the women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the, you know, that album is, he asks these questions and he says things, you know, but he doesn't answer them. And for so long, I was even impressed that they were talking about Chris Rock interviewing him in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And asking him about being gay or straight and sort of what he thought about that. And so, like, we're talking about, you know, I was impressed as 97. I was like, okay, 25 years ago. But also Prince was this, like, untouchable figure that, like, he was gender bending and doing androgyny in a way that it was just like, that is not okay. But also, you have so much just juice that, they certainly had issues with him, but
for sure
your mom would listen to a Prince song. Like, I don't know black people who would be like, no, we don't fuck with Prince, despite the fact that, like, morally and everything else, they they would not want a Prince in their home. They would not want him as their son.
Right, but musically they were like, yes, give me more.
And to come from Detroit, and, you know, no offense Detroit, there's nothing up there, and to be doing what he did and with who he, you know, Vanity 6, Purple Rain records, mm-hmm. you know, like, really, people don't not respect the amount of musicals that he, musical instruments that he plays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he mentored Janelle Monáe.
Uh-huh.
Lizzo had a relationship with him. It was like, and I was listening to this Controversy album and I was like, he said a lyric, you know, something about a new breed leader, stand up, organize. And I was like, I have heard this before. Where have I heard it? And I've heard it in, like, a very, very different genre. Like, a song by, I think these folks called Pigeonhead.
Okay.
And I was like, I need to look it up. And the song is a jam, but it just prints, you know? I mean, there's just too many things that can be said about him. But, and I think, too, now there's a part of me that's like, I'm upset that I have to talk about how these people's talent
mm-hmm.
is what made them sort of above the reproach or above being, like, dragged down and and mistreated. And in one sense, that is what it is, but also that took a level of bravery and fearlessness. You know, his frame, he's physically mm-hmm. he's very small, like, petite.
Yeah.
And just to embrace that femininity and just to be like, we're going to talk about feelings. And, like, all these not straight folks is part of what's helping us to see more of this nuance now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what comes before Frank Ocean being able to talk about a bad religion.
Yeah, for sure.
And Lil Nas X, you know, talking about what he talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oof, that music video for Industry. Every time I see it, I'm just like, this is getting gayer, and I don't think it get any gayer.
It was one of my... It was, I think I voted for it, actually, one of my favorite music videos of last year. Just, like...
Unapologetic's not the word.
No, it was just, like, if I could just, like, meet Lil Nas X in person and just shake his hand, to just be like, dude, what you are doing, as weird as it sounds, is the Lord's work.
I was saying, like, with a lot of assholes, but I did sanitize it, you know?
It's just, like... The level at which you troll just, like, the fucking homophobes out there, it's just chef's kiss. It's just like, keep going. I want you to, I want you in a museum one day for just, like, how, like, defiant you were to, like, these stereotypes and people's opinions of you. It's just like, and yeah, Prince really made it a space for people to do stuff like that. Like, he just, like, chose to defy all of these stereotypes based on, like, not even just race but sexuality, and it's just it's incredible.
I had some sort of thought, but I don't know where it is. It'll come back later on at some time. I'll burn it out, but shout out to Prince. Like, I need to definitely listen to more Prince. 39 albums,
that's a lot. I can tell you right now, I will probably not listen to all of Prince's albums. I won't make it to listening to all of Prince's albums, but...
I don't know that I will, but still.
I've been trying to listen to more of his music, because he was before our generation, so, like, as much as I, like, respect him as an artist, and, like, every time I listen to a Prince song, I'm like, this is amazing. It's just, he just wasn't in my zeitgeist or in my world. Like, it wasn't, like... Nobody in my household was really, like, playing Prince, so it wasn't even like that, where it was, like, I just heard him through other stuff. So I had to, like, discover him, like, after I, like, got into music. And so I'm trying to listen to more of his music, because he's incredible. And especially after influencing people like Janelle Monáe, who I think is probably the, like, next closest, like, the artist who's, like, the most most resembles Prince. It was like, okay, I need to go back to the OG and, like, see what he was doing, because Janelle Monáe is incredible as well. Okay. Also a openly queer artist.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And, like, I have to say that I knew very well who Prince was, because that's my aunt's favorite artist. And so, you know, when he had gone on tour, like, that was her shit.
Yeah.
And so her sister, my other aunt, and I wonder if this is a... I was going to say, well, this is kind of distasteful, but it's like, it's not. This is a choice that you made that's, like, very permanent.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew about Prince, you know, 10 years old, because my aunt's daughter, she named her after the song Darling Nikki.
Oh.
And it's not until maybe, you know, she had said that. I knew that Prince was her favorite artist. And then, you know, sometime between the ages of maybe 10 and 12, I hear the song Darling Nikki. And if you've not heard it, like, can I say the lyrics?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah,
he says, like, I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby masturbating with a magazine.
Oh.
I said, like, how'd you like to... She asked me, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw a little Nikki grind. And then the song, like, goes on. It was just like...
And so she named her daughter after this song.
The face you're making. Right?
Wow.
And so that is probably, aside from hearing him when they played, like, when she said that, and then when I come across that song, it was just like...
Okay.
It's time. Okay.
Okay, so that was left in from a previous thing. I'm gonna just let that rock. I guess my computer clearly was like, yo, that's crazy. Throw the air horn. Like, yes. My computer just decided to do the air horn. Sorry, keep going.
No, it's fine. That was perfect timing. That was the end anyway. That was the punchline of, like, your face. And you named your child after that.
Yeah, that's a choice. That's a choice. I'm sure this man had 39 albums before he died. There were probably many songs.
This is such a reflection of you and the time of your life that you were in.
That's hilarious. Wow. Okay, were there any other R&B artists? We mentioned Janelle Monáe, who has honestly also been leading sort of like a mini revolution, a mini modern revolution when it comes to like being open and like being 100% authentic with herself.
I wonder if Tessa Thompson would be so publicly sexy
together. Right? And there was that like Pink music video and the song in general. Ooh, like, so she is doing amazing things. I'm trying to think, were there any other artists before we jump into some more hip hop ones?
Yeah, no, I feel like that's. I don't have anybody else to say that I could think of.
Okay, so let's jump into. I wrote a few names down for like the hip hop artists who have kind of been like openly queer and have had levels of success. Young M.A.
She is great. The first time I ever heard her, I was like, who is this dude? And then by the end of the song, I was like, I think this dude's a woman.
I thought she was a dude when I first heard her as well. And then I was like, oh, shit.
That's an undeniable edge. That is an undeniable edge.
So she's never hid who she is. And I think one of the things that has really helped the success of her career is that, like, straight dudes relate to her, because in her music she's talking about like fucking women and just like,
you call her Stephanie, right?
And so many, she's got the straight dude market because they're like, yo, I relate to that as well. And then also she's got like the LGBTQ community who was like, women. Yes, keep going. And so I love that she's able to capture a portion of the hip hop fandom in like in many different ways. But yeah, like I don't always like enjoy her albums in full, because sometimes an entire album can get a little like one note, but like in spurts, like when I haven't heard her in a while and I'm like, ooh yeah, let me listen to some Young M.A., it's like, yeah, this is what I need at the moment.
I would agree with you. Although she did have one album. I feel like Herstory in the making. Like, I enjoy her sampling. When she samples stuff, like, that album might have been mostly samples.
I think I know which album you're talking about.
And again, oh yeah, her debut songs, 1 hour and 8 minutes. I don't necessarily need to be in that space with you for 1 hour and 10 minutes. But I'm with you right on the, not necessarily all the time a full album, but definitely some bangers. Definitely just like real good, accessible gangster shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very excited for her to keep going. She released an album last year, I think. Off the Yak. Yeah. And I listened to it.
And some of this just isn't for me anyway. So.
Yes, that's the other thing that I think makes a whole album from Young M.A. not, like, it's not something that I always want to listen to all the way through, because it's like, I don't really relate, like, all the way relate to what she's saying, so it's like, I can't really stay in this world for too long, but it's nice to visit every once in a while.
Right. And she was on, she has a song on Halle Berry's soundtrack to her boxing movie. Yeah. No Mercy from Bruised.
Okay.
The soundtrack. And then that boxing movie apparently, like, only has all women on the soundtrack.
It does, yeah. It's been in my queue. I've been wanting to listen to it. I think Cardi B is on a song. Some other people.
Have you seen the music? Have you seen the movie for it?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Is it good? Have you seen
it? I don't know. I haven't seen it either. I would watch it. Watch Halle Berry get beat up. I will watch it, because Million Dollar Baby was a jam, so.
Fair.
Let Halle do her thing.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll watch it sometime.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's put it on the list. other Tyler the Creator. So, my goodness, this man is an interesting case study because early in his career, he made a name for like being offensive and obscene, and like he was one of the artists that was like directing like obscene lyrics frequently at gay people. He was dropping the F-bomb in songs.
He was just saying weird shit. Like, I heard a couple songs be like, eat a cockroach and fuck your mother. Yep. I was like, I don't know.
Yep, he was like a horrorcore rapper.
No, ew.
Right?
Ew,
and like, why is that even a thing? Right? Why do we make up horrorcore? Why is that a word?
So I don't know nothing about him until this last album.
Yeah, so he was, and the thing about it is, like, even when he was doing that stuff, he was very artistic. Like, he created these characters, and, like,
I'll never know.
He was, right.
He's like, embedded in your horrorcore.
Yeah, he created these characters, and he was, like, weaving these intricate stories, but, like, the music was just, like, really offensive. And he kind of took a turn, I think, as he grew older, because, like, when he started, he was probably, like, 18 or something like that. Okay. So he was a young dude. So as he, I think, matured, and his music matured, and it became even more artistic, starting with the Wolf album. And the Wolf was like the album, he had like two albums that were like really horrorcore. It was like Bastard and Goblin. Those were the names.
I might have one song from Goblin, but I'm literally just sitting here with my arms folded like, please share these facts. This album I've never heard.
Yeah.
I have no context on.
So Bastard and Goblin were like, okay, like, ooh. But then Wolf, like, it was like he was, like, bringing an end to the stories he had created, but it also grew more artistic in that the music was less offensive, and it was like, oh, this is, like, it was the first Tyler, the Creator album where I was like, yo, this is one of my favorite albums. I listened to it, like, the entire year. So, I think it's still a little offensive because he was kind of, like, making his way out of the dark space he was in.
I don't have a song from that album. It's Martians versus Goblins. It's a game song
oh,
featuring Tyler,
got
the Creator.
Got you.
Not that anybody needed to know that, but keep going.
But, so he did Wolf, then he did Cherry Bomb, which was his album that was inspired by the Neptunes. It's kind of like a Neptunes-inspired Tyler, the Creator album, because he loves the Neptunes and inspired by them. Then he did Flower Boy, which was like,
that
now
sound
he's
soft, bro. That sounding soft,
right?
Flower Boy.
And on that album, he had a song where he was like alluding to like maybe like having a relationship with a dude or whatnot. But he's never like officially said it, but like strongly alluded to it in his music. And then in Igor, he did the same thing. And even just since like Flower Boy, like he's been a little bit more. He's been like sprinkling a little bit more just like things where it's like, oh gee, like he said something like, I've been kissing white boys since 1994 or something, or I don't remember the year, but that was one of the things he said in the song. And it's like, okay, so you're saying these things, but yet he hasn't like openly said like, yo, this is who I am, but like his music is seems like it's reflecting that. And so it's just the weirdest flip, because it was like you were like a gay person basher, like in your music. And now you've come full circle to the point where you're like possibly talking about your queer experiences in your music. And so it's been interesting to see like his persona and his music change over the past like half decade or so, or more than half decade, I guess, but like over the past few years.
Yeah.
'Cause it was not what he was doing in the beginning.
I mean, and that makes me kind of appreciate it more to hear you describe the arc in that way.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, that sounds like growth to me. Not
yeah.
that you have to be anybody, that you have to embody any sort of persona, but for you to, you know, it's like a very metaphorical lesson or allegorical lesson for kind of this gay bashing and this
yep.
hate in some sense that you start with, and then to just slowly but surely, you know, you acting out with these characters. You know, now we're talking about the art form
uh-huh.
kind of music, but you acting out with these characters, you rounding things out, you letting go of some stuff. It's like, I can appreciate that. That is you, like, taking your human journey,
mm-hmm.
your transition, and you putting it into this art. And then it's like, okay, well then, yeah, maybe I will listen. Because sort of the point that I was blanking on earlier, I'm reading this book with some of the interns and students.
Mm-hmm.
That I work with by Kate Bornstein.
Uh-huh.
She's a trans person and she's white, but something that she says in the book, you know, about how are holding so hard onto these, like, black and white, like, man and what is masculine mm-hmm. and what is woman feminine. Like, obviously it hurts the people who don't feel like they fit into those two things mm-hmm. or who are gay or, you know, have anything that is not, like, a straight shot from there. But, like, it hurts so much, like, straight people. It hurts so much the larger culture. Because I was reading an article in The Reader. And even mm-hmm. this, it feels like some sort of veiled masculinity. Where it's like, I know that author's name. And I thought to get the paper so that I could say the artist's name who did this piece on black males. It's that latent racism. That's something else. You know, but about his art was about pictures of, like, the black boys have feelings and black mm-hmm. men kind of have a range of emotion. And, you know, I think about who is not a queer artist, but Childish Gambino. And, uh-huh. you know, like, it hurts straight people in that you know, shit, sometimes you do have to cry. And you're only a sides, you know, and kind of, like, the larger hip-hop, like, more traditional gangster rap is, like, you have that kind of, like, song that no one cares about. It's quieter. It's two or three mm-hmm. of them. It's to a slower, softer beat about how you had to, like, you know, see your homie, put down, mm-hmm. go to services, you know, and all these allusions to kind of, like, how members of the black community handle grief.
Yeah.
And, like, how you support their family. And, like, you talk about it, but you don't talk about it. But it's just, like, you know, I feel like part of me bringing this topic in is, one, just because I like to be, like, what's the thing that's going to be offensive, but I have a way to talk about it so that you mm-hmm. kind of can't deny that this is a subject of interest.
Yeah.
You know, or just entertaining and just to be cringy, but also just like, these boxes, they make sense in some sense. Like in psychology, we call it schemas. You need it. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier for your life, but they hurt everybody, you yeah. know, like, and now you got to go through this revolution in 2022 or be part of this revolution of like, you can have feelings, and you can want to hold your daughter.
Right.
And XYZ. You know. Yeah. That was my whole aside. I'm ready to end my aside now.
No, yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, like, even going back to the Tyler thing, I wonder if Frank Ocean coming out, because Frank Ocean was part of Odd Future, which was, like, Tyler's crew, and I wonder if, like, Frank coming out in his music was a catalyst for Tyler to start making some changes. I don't know if the time matches up. So, like, Frank probably did that Tumblr post around, like, 2011, 2010, maybe 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. Tyler made Wolf probably around 2013. So it's possible, like, maybe he saw, like, oh, if Frank can, like, do this and, like, people, for the most part, like, accept him, then maybe, like, maybe it helped him be more of himself in his music.
What's that unspoken energy like? Where, like, Frank was who he was before he made that Tumblr post, and I'm in a group right? where the dude who drops the F-bomb and who says XYZ.
Right?
And so then it could go one of two ways or one of 700 ways. Either I know that this is part of an act or this is part of him working something out and he uh-huh. doesn't mean any harm by it. Or, you know...
or the worst option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that was the first thing I thought when... like, when Frank came out, it was like, huh, so are him and Tyler cool? Because right. Tyler doesn't seem to like gay people. So, yeah, that's... And I'm sure Tyler was asked about it at the time, and I think he said, like, no, me and Frank are cool. Like I don't have blah, blah, blah. But I just personally wonder if, like, Frank, like, helped influence Tyler in that way as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Lil Nas X, because we mentioned it a little bit, like... Lil Nas X, he hasn't been open since he came out, or, like, he hasn't been open since he first started making music. Like, I think Old Town Road was already, like...
Hasn't he only been making music for, like,
I know, it's only been, like, 3 or 4 years. It's wild. It's just he's had such a crazy career so quickly. Like, Old Town Road blew up with the remixes after remixes, and then, like, kids loved it, parents loved it.
White folks could not deny that song.
Yep.
And then when they did deny it, then it was like, Billy Bob.
Oh,
wait,
yeah.
Wait, no, Billy Ray. I was like,
yeah,
Billy Bob. No, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yep.
You say it's not, even though you knew it was.
Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, come and bless this.
Yes.
And then it went to crazy heights. He came out as gay after that. And then since then has just been... unapologetic, like, yo, I said I was gay, so I'm gonna fucking be gay.
Yes.
Like, I didn't just say I was gay and then I'm gonna keep going back to doing this, like,
never
country
muted.
Like, no, like, I'm gay, so deal with it. And, like, just what a thesis statement. What a way to like go through the world. So I just love watching him be gay, like in hip hop, because nobody does that. Nobody has been like gay in hip hop and then just like decided to like show themselves being gay so openly. But he's on like award shows, like
never in a black subdued anything.
Right?
Fingernails always painted, like rhinestones put on his eyes. Of course I want to like do this whole thing, but what do you say to people who say that Lil Nas X is not hip hop? What do you say to people who say he's pop or he's somewhat, you know, like he's not hip hop? I don't know what the other thing
is. It's a tough conversation because like if you listen to his Montero album, like I would say only like half of that album is are hip hop songs. Like he is a pop artist as well, but it's tough because like pop and hip hop have become, they run so parallel to each other nowadays that it's like, I mean, hip hop is pop music because like the popular hip hop music that lands on the radio is like close to pop anyway, because that's kind of how you have to make, unless you're like special, that's kind of how you have to like make it to like have success in the industry. But like he can fucking rap, and like he has made rap songs that I personally think are good. It's like he's a hip-hop artist, he's a pop artist. I choose to let it be in the moment. So like if you give me an album that's like mostly pop, then I'm like, all right, this is a pop album with like maybe some hip-hop leanings. If you give me like a more hip-hop album, then like, okay, this album was a hip-hop artist. But I don't think, you know, the genre of a particular album really determines like the genre that you choose to be classified under. But those people are mostly haters, I think. And just the things that Lil Nas X has, like, won the Industry Baby music video. For those who haven't seen it, I suggest you go watch it. But Lil Nas X is in a prison. Everybody in the prison is wearing pink jumpsuits, for one. There's a scene where he has two dudes walking around holding his pocket, like
so much, like so many layers to that, so many layers to that,
so many. He's got a naked shower scene where it's not naked. They've like blurred, they've like censored like the actual video. But
how do you skip the part where the man like flips up and throws his ass in his face?
Yes.
Like it's the pockets and then literally like face full of ass in a way that I have not seen on TV in a while.
Yes.
I'm not going to take away from anybody who's had plenty of club scenes before, but it was just like eating the booty. Just has pants on.
Yeah. Just, like, there's nothing that Lil Nas X won't, like, visualize in his... And then you got the Montero video where he's, like...
fucking up on Satan.
Yeah, you know? Like, he's, like, dressed like a stripper and he slides down a stripper pole to hell. Like, this stripper pole is the longest stripper pole you've ever seen. And he's, like, just doing, like, stripper moves, sliding down the pole until he gets to Satan, and then he just gives Satan a lap dance. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, the blood in the shoes, just to make you upset.
Yep. He's just like, whatever he can do to piss people off, he's like, I'm gonna fucking do it because there's nothing you can say to me. So like, he has actually become, I think, the most successful openly gay artist. This man has a diamond song. Old Town Road has done like over 10 million units sold. It might be more than that at this point.
Yeah.
Diamond records are hard to come by.
Now I want to ask, especially nowadays, about diamond records and who has them. But.
Oh yeah, we can. It's not a as long a list as you would think. As far as like hip hop artists, there's tons of like pop and like
Celine Dion,
white people. Sure, sure. But like for hip hop and R&B artists, I think it might be under 100. Like, it might be closer to 50.
Okay.
Like, artists who, like, have a diamond record. I think Cardi B's gotten a couple for Bodak Yellow and I Like It, I think.
Okay.
She might have three, actually. So, Cardi, like, it's a whole nother discussion.
I saw a picture of her. Right. She is a whole nother story. Being so gangster in the street. And this Offset was being arrested by the cops. Where I was just like, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, but Cardi. I actually do think that the next farewell tour episode might be about women in hip hop. So I'll probably get into Cardi B in that one. But yeah, like I just love how openly authentic Lil Nas X is being, and I love that he is achieving success with it. Like he's got a diamond record. Like he's making good music, and so like for that alone. He's bringing hope to other artists who may be under him or even who may not be as open as him now that want to achieve the success that he has, that they can do that without compromising their identity. And that's like, especially in this day and age, that's a really important thing to be portraying and like hope to be giving people. So,
yeah,
it's dope.
Do you know about Todrick?
Todrick. That name sounds familiar. Is it Todrick Hall? Is that his name?
Yeah, Todrick Hall.
I have heard that name, but I don't think I really know anything about him.
Okay. Femulin Reloaded is their last album.
Todrick Hall.
They are definitely pop, but I just...
Oh, I've seen this person.
Thinking of somebody with, like, the same, you know, like, with that same color and energy and some of that notoriety within the gay community. Like, I think if we went over to Boys Town... everybody would know who Todrick Hall is. But again, that's a derailment. They popped into my mind thinking about like color, brown skin.
Okay. Yeah, he's been on RuPaul's Drag Race, it looks like. They got famous off of American Idol. Yeah. Phil's tenacious work ethic comes from the lack of opportunities he had in the entertainment industry as a black gay man. Interesting. I have to look into Todrick Hall. But yeah, I guess I'm really just hopeful that like Lil Nas X and like Janelle Monáe and all these like current like pioneers, that they just continue this wave and that you begin to have so much more representation than there is, in current state, like hip hop and R&B. I think R&B is further along than hip hop is. Like R&B, I think has longer been a space where it's been safer to be queer than hip-hop has. Hip-hop has a longer way to go, but I do think that artists like Lil Nas X and the people who kind of toe the line between the two genres have helped. Was there anything else we wanted to discuss? There are lots of other artists who haven't achieved as much success, like I Love Maconan, who had the like hit with Tuesday.
They have talent.
I always thought that he was going to be a one-hit wonder with Tuesday, and then, you know, his career was never the same. Coincidentally, it was never the same after he came out as gay in 2017, so who knows if that had an effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really enjoyed anything else he did. Tuesday was just barely like, okay, wait, this is fine. But like,
and I loved Tuesday.
Yeah, and it was a solid song. But then there's, of course, like Azealia Banks... Chica, have you listened to Chica? Would really like Chica.
No, like I'm like, I know I have a song by Chica.
Listen to her project. She's got a couple EPs. It's not that many songs. Maybe like four or five songs on
each
one.
Did she have an album nominated last year?
In my awards,
yeah.
She was probably nominated for something, okay. Maybe a song or something.
Okay.
But yeah, she's very good. She's come out as queer. And she's an incredible rapper. I discovered her on Instagram because she would get on Instagram, or maybe it was Twitter, and she would just like rap over other people's songs. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yo, she's like one of the best rappers I've ever heard. And so she recently, over the past couple years, got like a deal. And so she's like making music. She's put out music. I'm pretty sure she's gotten like a Grammy nomination maybe recently. She's really good. I think you would like her.
Yeah, I've got Save You. From the Once Upon a Time EP.
Yeah, that whole EP is very good.
Okay.
She's good. There are artists like Kevin Abstract from Brockhampton. I think many members of Brockhampton might be queer. There's Angel Hayes, whose career didn't really take off like we thought it would. Steve Lacy from the Internet. We have to discuss Macklemore's allyship with the community when he made that Same Love song. This was in the midst of... Oh, wait. Yeah, so this is like when he was already big after doing the thrift shop stuff.
Yes.
And then he decided,
wasn't
like...
Wasn't it just one album that we care about?
Thrift shop, probably. And then, like, after that, it was like, Macklemore gets a lot of flack for other things, like the whole Kendrick situation at the Grammys, where like he won the Grammy that Kendrick should have won, and then he like texted Kendrick like, "Yo, you should have won it," and then he posted the text. It seemed like he was
okay.
So he's got a lot of flack for that, and like some other things, but he did make the same love song where in support of like same-sex marriage.
It's
it became
song.
An anthem for that movement around the time when a lot of states were trying to get laws passed. He had that Grammy performance of the song where Queen Latifah oversaw and officiated the marriage of like 33 same-sex couples. Like it was his Grammy performance was him performing Same Love with like the people that are in the song, and then like at the end of the song or maybe during, Queen Latifah came up and they had 33 same-sex couples, and she like married them all at the same time. It was like one of
the
wildest things.
She told us 30 years ago.
Yep. And so that was a big moment for Queen Latifah's also connection to it, and also his allyship. So I figured we had to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the only other notes I had were, this is funny to think about with Kanye now, but like Kanye was one of the first people in hip hop to like, in 2005, kind of similar to his George Bush statement, he discussed how his environment led him to be homophobic just because that's how like the culture was, and how finding out his cousin was gay changed his perspective. And so he made that statement. He was talking about like, yeah, like it makes me want to like tell my homies like, yo, we can't be like saying shit like this because like my cousin is gay and he's like one of my like closest friends or some shit. Like, so he like changed his perspective and he made this statement. It was radical at the time, like one of the first major statements against homophobia from like a huge hip hop artist. Did he go any further with that? Not really, but at the time, you know, that was he was one of the people kind of leading that.
Thanks,
which is
for that thing, 2005 Kanye.
Yeah, yeah. It's if only you had continued to be 2005 Kanye.
Oh, wow.
But that's a whole nother
right?
discussion. So yeah, I think despite there still being people who make it necessary to continue to fight the fight, like DaBaby and his homophobic statements at Rolling Loud, and
yeah, and the way that you package these statements, it's like a very I'm like gay bashing, but I got gay fans, and like y'all could go, like you all are okay. It just is a very.
Yeah.
And then the whole I'm sorry, but then I'm not sorry.
Yeah, he's just. DaBaby sucks. He's the thing is, he's a terrible human being, and that's really how it all came. Like, he made some good songs, and it was at the point where like the terrible things he was doing were like a little bit justified, where like, I don't know, somebody came up and they like said something to his daughter or like something about his family, and so he like beat the shit out of him. So it's like those things where it's like, oh, why'd you do that? But then it was like, oh, I mean, I guess I can understand like personal space and all that. And so those were the type of things that we were getting. And then it was like, I think, didn't he, like, shoot somebody or something, too?
I don't know.
But, like, even the shooting, I think, at the time seemed justified because the person did something. I don't remember. But now we're getting to the point where it's like, oh, no, you're just a bad person. And now, like, you're doing things that's like, oh, we can't justify this. And so it's like,
I guess, is he famous enough now, though? I mean, like,
I don't know. Like, I do think, despite how much what he said and how the other terrible people like Tory Lanez are trying to come to his defense, I do think he's been affected by like the blowback from this situation. Like, he lost a lot of sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of festivals were like, "Nah, you're not performing."
Will he be back in 2 years? Will he be like Banger's crazy album on a tour?
You know,
in 2025.
You know, that's a really good question. The safest bet is yes, because I think
he was everywhere.
Yeah, and the lack of like huge artists that are calling out the artists that are making these statements and saying these things in their music, like it would take like artists like Jay-Z or Kanye or even Drake, like the huge artists, to like openly be like, nah, that wasn't cool. Like we don't condone like people like saying stuff like that. In music, it would take something like that for, I think, these other artists to really, really feel like some serious
canceling. I feel like you
canceling.
Need all three of them.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But, like, is that ever going to happen? Probably not, because it's in these artists' eyes, it's probably not worth it to make these statements and have it affect their career. I mean, I don't think they should be thinking that way, but that's the reality of where we are.
Why are you even bothered at that level? Drake, what are you talking about?
Nothing can touch you at this point. Like, nothing can touch you at this point. Like, any of those artists.
These are words. We could be talking about if it was like, who'd you assault and when? You know, like, ooh, again, you might have to sit down for a minute. You'll be fine. But you gotta, like, go to rehab. You need to. Yeah. Just go to your place in Malibu for 3 years, and then we got you.
Yeah.
There's no loss to you at all. You know, and again, that goes back to that point of, like, it hurting everybody. But there is no loss to you to mm-hmm. say, that's not cool. Yeah. You know, it's not requiring any other action. Like, literally no other action. It's not even requiring you to not like the other 95% of the song.
Yeah.
At a base level. It's just, like...
And you're, like, you're huge enough that, like... If there are other artists who don't agree with you saying that, like, who cares? You're Jay-Z or you're Drake. Like, you can
go buy a Maybach and a Maybach and we'll talk about it.
Like, you're never gonna be. You're not gonna lose any success because, like, oh, maybe a couple of the industry people didn't like that you, like, came at this homophobic comments. Yeah, like, yeah. So it would take something big like that, I think, for these artists to, like, really feel the effects. They're feeling it a little, like. There are a number of people who were like, yeah, I'm just not going to listen to DaBaby anymore. And, like, he's lost a lot of sponsorship and stuff like that. But at the same time, there are just as many people who are like, I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. like what DaBaby has done. I enjoy his music and I'm going to keep listening to it. It's the reason why Chris Brown still has a lot of fans. It's the reason why Trey Songz will continue to have a lot of fans. It's the reason why... Tory Lanez.
Now we're getting into the patriarchy.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. That's really what it comes down to.
Rihanna's one of your queens. He beat her up. Like, come on, y'all.
Yeah. But my hope is that, at least from the queer aspect, is that these artists who are making waves, that those waves will continue to get bigger. And then hopefully they're big enough that a lot of people can just, like, ride the wave into a lot more openness in hip-hop. But did you have anything else that you wanted to add to the discussion?
No, I don't want to take us anymore off track.
This was great, though. I think this was a good conversation. I've really enjoyed these talks because, one, it's nice to not have to pick the topic, and then I can kind of just, like... I don't know, the conversation's going to be a little bit more free-flowing than structured, which most of the podcast episodes I've done in the past have had to be. But this has been fun because I like what the guests of the show are interested in. And, like, it's one of my favorite things is just talk with people about music and specifically the parts of music that they like. So this has been cool. Thank you for bringing the topic.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for giving me the freedom and the creativity. Thanks for doing all that research and legwork. Like, Ahmad makes it look very effortless. But he, like, does all this behind-the-scenes stuff so that you can, like, kind of be propped up and, you know, look like you have some sense. And so
I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's been fun. I'm sad, in a way, for sure, that this is... that you're getting close to the end here.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's also just such an impressive... feather in your cap that you've gotten to do it for this long and then it's like changed and been of this quality and I'm proud of you and this was fun.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And luckily we're friends, so we can always just have music conversations whenever we want.
Yes. You have to continue to boil down those albums for me that are too long.
I got you. I was actually there was some album I was looking at the other day that I was like, ooh, Ariel would like a good like 12 song of this 20 song album. I should make a... I don't remember what album it was now.
It's not the Her album, is it?
No, it was something else. I'll remember at some point, but there's a playlist coming your way.
I appreciate you.
So that has been it for the Dig Deeper segment and for this episode of Thinking Outside the Boombox. Thank you all for tuning in. I think... don't hold me to this because I have to make sure the schedules work out. I think I will be back next week with... another farewell tour episode. Yeah, actually, let me also see when the Grammys are, because I think those might be next week as well.
Who is it? Kanye? Somebody was like, Kanye, let's boycott the Grammys.
Oh, he got kicked off of the Grammys.
Who As he should, because Trevor Noah was going to be there.
Right, Trevor Noah's hosting. He just called Trevor Noah a coon. So, like, yeah, it makes sense for them to not let him perform. I don't know also, if he, like, has been, like, if he's not allowed to come or if he just can't perform. I don't know.
Even if he did not call Trevor Noah that, he has shown you how many times that he will take the stage.
Right.
And he will be wild.
Do not.
And this is not a quiet time for him.
No, you do not want this Kanye West anywhere near your award show because there is no telling what he will do. So, yeah, I'm glad that they, hopefully they told him he can't show up at all because, like, even that's too much.
And now I feel bad that we talked about him for 2 minutes. I'm not going to say his name anymore, but, like.
But, yeah, I'm with you.
Do something about that shit.
Yes. So, the Grammys are actually next Sunday, and I usually release episodes on Sunday. So, I think that I will have another farewell episode next week coming out, and then the week after that, I will have a Grammy episode. If not, there might not be a farewell episode next week, but there will definitely be a Grammy episode on the 10th. And then I think after the 10th, I'm jumping right into a 5-episode series that I'm not going to tell you about right now, but...
Oh, I wanted to know.
Oh, I'll tell you. But that'll be kicking off, like, in back-to-back weeks starting, I think, April 17th. And then after that ends, Karen will come in for the final episode, the final farewell tour episode, where she will bring in a topic and we'll discuss it. And then that'll be the show. So for the most part, I'm coming to you like back to back to back until May. So this is the home stretch, and I want to make sure that the episodes are coming relatively quickly. So I'm excited about that. ThinkingOutsideTheBoombox.com is the website. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TOTB the podcast. This has been Thinking Outside the Boombox, your number one source for hip hop and R&B news. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.